Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The bronze medal is on the line between France and the United States.
There she is! Saved by Soto!
Yeah, and only 14 one-hundredths of a second separated them.
And setting a world record, 9.68, and he's going to do it all! World record and Olympic gold!
I love the Olympics. I'm not a big enough fan to be watching the Olympic trials that are going on right now, but the opening ceremonies are just less than 3 weeks away, actually. So we want to kick off our Olympic coverage with some notes on the athletes to watch for. There are, of course, the favorites, the superstars like Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt. And last week, we profiled Oscar Pistorius, who is now the first double amputee chosen to run in an Olympic track event. But today, we want to bring you some names that you may not know. I certainly don't know them all, but they might be famous by the time the Games end. So joining me, Jason Stallman, deputy sports editor for our partner at the New York Times. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you. Good morning.
Now, when you chose these names, they weren't because of your biases for particular sports, right?
Absolutely not.
All right. So let's get to some of these names. And I looked down them. I don't know a single name on here except for one. The only name I know, and it's because of Stephen Colbert, is the name Rafalka.
She, along with two other people, purchased a horse and have trained it up, and it's done so well that that the trainer and that horse are going on to represent the United States in the Olympics in London.
Rafalka number one! Rafalka number one! Woo! Go Rafalka!
So who is Rafalka?
Who is Rafalka?
We heard Mitt Romney there because he owns this horse.
Right. Ann Romney is a co-owner of this 15-year-old mare from Oldenburg, Germany. And when Anne was being treated for MS years ago, she sought dressage, the sport of dressage. It's part of the equestrian program, otherwise known as horse ballet, horse gymnastics. She got into that, befriended a man named Jan Ebeling, also of Germany, and he's an accomplished rider. And Jan has qualified for the Olympics. He placed third in the qualifying event. He's ranked ninth overall in the United States, so maybe not a medal contender, but he'll be riding Rafalka, this 15-year-old mare. And the equestrian competition will be going on at Greenwich Park. This is 20 miles east of central London. So, you know, as all of the world is looking at the Olympic Park and the aquatics venue and the Olympic Stadium, it might be 20 miles away, Greenwich Park, where most of the action
This may be the first time that the equestrian sports get attention. I mean, because it's because of Ann Romney.
Right. 100-year anniversary of dressage in the Olympics. And no doubt it will get more attention this year than ever.
All right. So, I mean, I have my own favorite sports, but you're going to tell me about athletes we need to watch for. And the rest of these are those that have a chance at medals?
Right. So NBC is the exclusive broadcast rights holder. They get to determine what you see on television and what video you see online in the United States. And they've been generous enough this time to put everything, make everything available on TV and online. So you have no excuse for not watching an event. Everything is there. So here are a few of the athletes you may not have heard of, but I'd recommend trying to see at some point. In the track and field competition, there's a runner from Ethiopia, Tirunesh Dibaba. And if you're an Olympic athlete and you have to go up against anybody in the world, this is probably the person you least want to compete with. Her nickname is the Babyface Destroyer.
The Babyface Destroyer. That is so awesome.
She's maybe 5'1", maybe 97 pounds on a heavy day. She runs the 10,000 meters, so this is 25 laps around the track. They do it in about 30 minutes. It's an incredibly punishing race. And Dibaba's tactics are, I find, particularly cruel because she happily runs alongside the leaders for 24 laps. However fast they want to go, she'll be right on their shoulder. And then when the bell rings for the final lap, she takes off, leaving everybody far behind because she has this incredible kick on the last lap, and no one can keep up with her. So for 24 laps,
she's mocking them.
Right. You think, I might be able to do this, but then, no, it ends in defeat for everyone except Tirunesh.
Well, I have to watch somebody whose nickname is Babyface Destroyer. Who else should I be watching for?
You should also watch for a man in the weightlifting competition who could probably fit Dibaba on the palm of his hand, Behdad Salimi of Iran. He's competes in the heaviest weight competition. He holds the world record in the snatch. 214 kilograms. So
that's...
if you don't know the metric, the conversion is it's about, I think, 19 city buses. He's a huge man.
472 pounds.
There you go. That was quick. Nice job.
Yeah.
2010, 2011 world champion. And what I'm most fascinated by, because Iran is a closed society in many ways, we know very little about him. He shows up at international competitions, dominates, and
leaves.
Doesn't
say much and goes
Doesn't say much. So maybe we'll find out a little more about him in London.
Maybe. All right. So that, we've got weightlifting so far and running, some other sports.
Okay, we could go to soccer. So the opening ceremony is in 18 days. That's on Friday, the 27th. The soccer competition, they need a little more time for this. They started early. So if you want to start your Olympic program before the opening ceremony, Wednesday the 25th, you can tune into soccer. And there we have a player for Brazil. He's 20 years old, and he is being called the next Pele, the next Lionel Messi, the next whatever, insert great soccer player name here.
Really rags to riches story.
Right. 20-year-old kid, name is Neymar da Silva Santos Jr., and if that's too much for you to remember, Brazilian soccer players conveniently go by one name, of course, so just Neymar will suffice. And men's soccer at the Olympics is a little different. Women's program, of course, it's the world's best players. This is the next biggest competition to probably the World Cup for them. On the men's side, it's more of an amateur event. It's under 23. Every team is allowed only three players who are older than 23 years old. So many of the world's best players aren't at the Olympics. Neymar, however, is one. He's 20 years old. He'll be there. And then if you think ahead a couple of years when Brazil is hosting the World Cup, he'll be the biggest star in the world, and you'll be able to say, I remember seeing him in London.
I remember seeing that mohawk
on
the soccer field. All right, so we've gotten somebody from Ethiopia here. Neymar is from Brazil. We got somebody from Iran. Rafalka is American, but, you know,
Of German descent,
that's right. But I want to talk about the Queen, because, I mean, her story is something we're probably going to hear a lot about.
Right. Queen Underwood, Quinita Underwood from Seattle, has certainly one of the more troubling stories of any Olympic athletes, at least in the United States. She's a boxer, so this is the first time women's boxing is part of the Olympic program.
And I'm excited.
I got into boxing because, you know, not find my way out of high school. I wanted to, you know, be great at something. And boxing is like an open door to anybody. I mean, you can go into a gym and just train, and it's very inexpensive. And so I saw it on TV. I was like, oh, I want to do that. And I said I want to be a champion.
But again, this is a little bit of a rags-to-riches story for her.
It is. So when Quinita was young, she and her sister were sexually molested by their father, and he served a prison sentence. He's out now, but they're not really in touch. She trains out of Seattle, and she's part of this first-time women's boxing program for the U.S. She's a lightweight.
And women's boxing, is it? I mean, how the sport, in the athleticism of the sport, are they brutal? Are they aggressive?
Oh, quite. It's you know, not unlike
it is
watching men.
All out, right? All right. Take a listen to this voice and tell me a little bit about this this runner from Botswana.
The Botswanan knows that Alison Felix is closing. Can the woman from Africa hang on? Here comes Felix. Has she got enough? Has she left it too late? It's so, so close. So, so close. What a finish! And I think Amanda Longo has just hung on there. And if she has, she's just become the toast of Botswana and the pride of a continent.
The pride of a continent. Botswana never won an Olympic medal in any sport?
Any sport, any Olympics ever, Botswana has never won an Olympic medal. Have never had a female competitor until Amantle Mantsho came along. She's a 400-meter runner. She's from a very remote rural village in north-central Botswana. It's called Maun. 400 meters, one lap around the track, and she's the world's best. She won the world championships last year, and she's a gold medal favorite.
And again, we're talking about somebody who grew up in her case, abject poverty.
Right. She had really no access to any proper resources or training, and it was by mere happenstance that her father had the foresight to see that she had a little potential as a runner. She would run around the family's cattle post, and he was impressed by what he saw. He let her run, and now she'll be on the
biggest
stage.
Although that is not conventional in Botswana.
Absolutely not. No, it was in complete contrast to everything else playing out there because, again, there was no precedent for a female athlete of any kind in Botswana.
A little guide to who athletes to watch for from Jason Stallman. He's deputy sports editor for our partner, The New York Times. Less than 3 weeks away. Are you marking down the days on your calendar?
I'm leaving in about 10 days.
You're going to be in London there for the whole thing.
I will.